chapter 14. Anyway, we'll begin reading with verse 19 of Romans chapter 14. It says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man which eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, we've studied this. We pretty much know what it means, but I believe this continues on here in chapter 15, verse 1. And it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." So, because of this, up here that we just read, "We then that are strong." Now that's the question. Are we the ones that are strong? Or are we the ones that are causing a brother to stumble? If you're strong, you know, you're not supposed to cause a brother to stumble, right? We're supposed to think of them first. What is it? I dearly love pork chops. Brother Steve can attest to that. But, if there are still some brothers that and sisters, I don't know too many sisters that don't like pork chops. As a matter of fact, I think that would be an oddity. But they don't think it's right to eat pork for any reason. And when it comes to pork chops and bacon, I don't see how they can come up with that, really, just to be honest about it. But if it's going to cause a brother to stumble, what am I to do? Am I to eat it in front of them and say, "Looky here, I can eat pork chops, and I'm strong"? If I'm strong and I know that it offends them or causes them to offend, don't get me wrong. I'm not worried about offending other people. That's not what this means. If you cause them to offend, offend the Lord. If they don't have the faith to believe that all things are legal to them. If we eat in faith, if we ask God to bless the food that he gives us, all things have been cleansed. So then, are we strong? Verse 13, chapter 13, no, we meant, that's not what I want. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputation." Now, to us that are sound in God's word and in the teachings and of the Bible and everything like that, we know a few more things. But to those that are weak, they need to be taught. And sometimes you teach by example, and sometimes you teach in other ways. And I believe this is talking about other ways that you teach. You know, you can get up here and teach that these things are lawful, but when it gets right down to it, a person has to be convinced in their own mind, in their own heart, that this is right. We ought not do things that would cause them to offend the Lord. This is what it's talking about, the offense of others. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." We need to help them out. Now, does causing them to offend, does that to help them out? No. We need to look at it through their eyes. Now, not to come under bondage to them or their beliefs or whatever it might be, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But we need to bear their infirmities, you know, put up with it, so to speak. You know, we can't go against the Scripture. Don't get me wrong. We need there needs to be a breaking point there. We can't go against the Scripture. God's Word is the final say-so. Not because I like pork chops or anything like that, but we need to study God's Word and to know what it says and to be able to prove what we say. We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, it would break my heart if we had pork chops at the next fellowship meeting and I couldn't eat them because of the brother or sister that's weak in the faith or something like that. But I can't think of anybody that would believe that this church would do something contrary to the will of God. And although we have in the past, and I'm sure we will in the future, I don't think we'd do it on purpose. And anyway, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this, my brother has recently taught on this, but now Paul is going to be on both sides of this coin. He's going to tell us, you know, well, this is what it means, but this is what it says. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Okay, because somebody is weak, that doesn't mean that our, when we're by ourselves, we're not around that person, we don't have to live by their rules. We need to follow God's rules, what He says. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. Not everything. We don't edify a brother or a sister in Christ by doing things in front of them that causes them to offend. That just weakens them. We don't want to do that. But then again, it goes on there in the last part, said, "But I will not be brought under the power of any." We're not to let their weakness affect us to the point that we're brought under the power of their weakness. All right, First Corinthians 10. And verses 23 through 33. That's a lot of reading, but I think it's worth it. You know, this is the other side of the coin. It says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." Well, it said the same thing, didn't it? Yeah, but it goes on. "All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, thou eat, asking no question for conscience' sake." In other words, if you drive through McDonald's, you don't ask, "Was this offered to idols or anything like that?" You know, I don't think McDonald's does that, but whatever. You don't ask. "Ask no question for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." It's all His. "If any man then believe not, bid you any man of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you do be disposed to go." Now, how many of you have been asked to come to a party or something like that, and you didn't know what was going to be there? Well, that doesn't mean that you don't ask about the kind of activities that are going to go on. This is talking about the meal here. "Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake." Don't, again, you know, all things are lawful to me. I can eat meat. But I'm not to eat meat offered to idols. That's Scripture. But in this situation here, he says, you don't ask. You don't ask. Verse 28, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it. Somebody, whoever, he says that this was offered to idols. Don't eat it. Why? Because it's going to hurt you? No. It's going to hurt the brother that pointed it out. He said, this was offered to idols. So if you eat it then and he sees you, he's going to be offended by that. Or, you know, if he eats it then and he believes it's wrong, then he is, to him it is wrong. And for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? We need to be careful that, you know, we don't place ourselves under the authority of somebody weaker. We need to be strong in the faith, yes. Verse 30, for if by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? We give thanks to the Lord, right? I hope we do anyway. You know, we sit down to eat our bologna sandwich or whatever kind of hot dog, and we give thanks for it. Now, it's hard to tell what kind of meat is in a hot dog. I mean, you know, there's probably a few bugs in there, you know, and They're trying to get us to eat bugs now. Did you seen that on TV? I don't know how many of them are doing that, but I don't particularly want to eat bugs. Now, would it be wrong for me to eat bugs? Not scripturally, no. We're not instructed not to eat bugs now. But it's just the fact that I don't want to eat bugs. That's what keeps me from eating bugs as often as possible. Now, when you eat a hot dog, you just don't know. But anyway, verse 30, for if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Praise the Lord, he gave me a hot dog to eat. I'm not hungry. Praise the Lord. That's what we are to do. We're to praise the Lord in everything. Not just eating. If you're washing dishes, I don't wash dishes anymore. I can't stand there for that long and wash dishes. And Connie does the dishes. And she'll put a CD thing in the player there, and she'll be singing with Alan Jackson the hymns, you know, and sometimes I come into the computer where the computer's at there. It's right around the corner. She can't see me, and I can hear her singing along with Alan Jackson. And it doesn't make me jealous at all. But anyway, praise the Lord. She's able to sing. She sounds good, too. I mean, you know, she sounds good. You ought not laugh. Do it all for the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't give offense to anybody. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, if you preach the gospel, if you try to tell people that don't know him about the Lord Jesus, you're going to offend somebody. So that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a brother or sister in Christ. You don't want to get their nose open. We should comfort one another. In verse 33, even as I please all men in all things. Whoa. Now, there's a limit even on this. As we mentioned earlier, we are never to go against Scripture. But the Scripture said, this is our instruction book. This tells us what we are to do. Not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You know, we do whatever we do, we're to do to the glory of God. If we glorify God in our lives, people are going to see. And if we show them that what we have, then those that are His are going to want to have part of it too. Anyway, back in Romans 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Okay, we're getting the same thing here, right? We're back on the other side of the coin again. We don't want to be brought under the power of anybody else. But then again, we are to do it to their good, for their edification, for their instruction, whatever they do. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached, there fell on me. Okay, Christ is God, right? And God's purpose will always be accomplished, right? What's it say here? For even Christ pleased not himself. And you might think, well, of course he did. What did he ask the Father? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That wasn't his will at that time. I mean, he knew that's what he came for. And he went on to say, nevertheless, not my will. That's the way we should be in everything in our life. Not our will, but God's will be done. And even his Son. Please not himself, at least in this instant. But then again, he went and died on the cross for my sins. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, if you look at the things that were written, what is this talking about? Well, the law for one thing, but also the prophets foretold the coming of Christ. The Messiah was going to come. Now, the Jews didn't understand the Messiah, the whole thing about the coming of God's Son. They thought he was going to come as a king, and he is king. Don't get me wrong. But they thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. And that's not why he came. He came to fulfill the law and to pay the price for our sins. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And yet, sometimes we just don't understand. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would give us understanding, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We understand by the law that we can't do it. The law was never sent as a means for salvation. The law was sent to convict us of sin, period. And first of all, you know, what was the first law? Don't eat of the tree, right? What did we do? We broke the law. We ate of the tree. And I say we because it doesn't matter which of us was there. Adam, Eve, Steve Kine, Roger, Terry. It doesn't matter. Whichever one of us was there, we would have broken the law. Because that is our nature. But because of the things written and the Scripture, we might have hope. We have hope, not in the law, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now we are to be like-minded. Now we just finished an unintentional study in Philippians, and Let's go ahead and turn there. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, he's dearly beloved, right? Everybody here, I believe, looks at the rest of us as the dearly beloved. But he goes on in verse 2, "I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord." This is what it's talking about. Don't argue about things. Now, sometimes we're going to disagree about stuff. Brother Steve and I disagree on a few things. I don't know of anything drastic. I don't think there's anything drastic that we disagree about. But I try to tell him where he's wrong, and he says, "Well, okay." But he understands that we are not going to agree on everything. He might not think that pork chops are the best food in the world. He might, what's that thing with big noodles in it? Lasagna, okay. He likes that pretty well, too. But "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another." Just as in Philippians there, he says, you know, you two, get your minds together. Serve the Lord. These little things that come between you, unless it's scriptural, a scriptural situation, you know, you need to get over it. Serve the Lord. That's our purpose here, is to glorify God. Verse 6, "that ye be may be with one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, it's our purpose. All these things, blah, 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 things. Don't we? And in this world here, boy, don't we get tied up in things? We got things on top of things, don't we? We need to be of one mind and one mouth, glorifying the Lord. Verse 7, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. If you're a child of God, your name was written with mine in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And we're going to read a little bit about that here in a minute. "Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." God purposed to save us in eternity past. If you read in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the things. Let's turn there real quick. And we'll read Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. "For whom he did foreknow," that's talking about us, "and God foreknew us, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." He's talking about us and Christ here, being the firstborn of many brethren. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." Boy, there's that word, predestinate. Ooh. People scared to death of that. And I'm glad for it, because that was no desire in me to want to know the Lord. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." I didn't call on him. That's ridiculous. And whom he called, them he also justified. Justified how? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I can't justify myself. That's why people are trying to live a moral life, keep the law. You can't do it. Yeah, you're to keep the law. You're to try your best to do that. The things that, what did Christ say? If you love me, keep my commandments. We are to do that. But not to receive salvation, but because we have it. Anyway, whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I want you to see that glorified is past tense. Now, I don't know if you look at me, you might notice that I am not in a glorified body. According to the purpose of God, I've already got it. It's going to happen. There is no doubt. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I am justified in Christ and glorified by the power of God. I just haven't received my glorified body yet. But according to God's purpose, yeah, I got it. Back in Romans 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Well, what did Christ teach? He taught the law. If you will go back and read about Christ's ministry, he taught the law. Why? For the purpose it was intended. You can't keep it. You can't keep it. I'm come because you can't keep the law. That's basically what his message was. He was a minister of the circumcision, mostly to the Jews, right? Because to them was given the oracles of God. They were given the law. For the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What were the promises? That the Messiah was going to come of the lineage of David. And that he was going to save his people. And that he was going to be a king. And they got the cart before the horse. They wanted him to be a king first before he saved his people. Well, they didn't want Christ at all. Because Christ showed them, you're eat up with sin. We need to understand that. Yeah, we are. We're eat up with sin. Even us that are God's children. We still have a sinful nature in us. And there is a pleasure in sin. But if you're a child of God, it's not a lasting pleasure. It's there and then it's gone. And there's a thought in your mind and in your heart, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. I hope Roger didn't see me. Or you're ashamed of it. Where before, at the very best, you say, boy, I'm glad I got away with that. A child of God doesn't think they got away with it because we know that God is with us all the time. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. How can we be apart from God? We can't. And in verse 9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Well, okay. Christ came and spoke mostly to the Jews, right? He spoke to us too. And, Paul, he's on his road to Damascus, going to persecute some more Jews mostly, but, whatever. But whoever he come on to that trusted in the Lord, I'm going to persecute him. I'm going to send him back, and some of them probably going to be killed. Jesus stopped him on the road, and that ended his story about persecuting the Lord and the church and his children. And what else did he tell him? He said, you're going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. You're going to take my word to people that were not my people. That the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. There's a reason we are going to glorify God. He was merciful to us. We weren't even of the called, were we? As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. We don't have to worry about Jew or Gentile anymore. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God. That's like Native American and African American and whatever kind of American, these hyphenated descriptions. That's baloney. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God. You don't need any other description. Verse 10, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Now, you might think, well, you know, this Romans going through Romans, you know, we talked about the Jews for a while, and we talked about Gentiles for a while, and we talked about Jews, and then we back and forth. Well, this verse right here ends all that. They say, again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And many take that to believe that, you know, rejoice you Gentiles with the Jews. No. That's not what this is saying. He's talking about his people among the Jews. So we are to rejoice with the chosen of the chosen. Those that are his people. Those that are children of God. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. He didn't ask this, did he? He said again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. He doesn't say if you feel like it. You know, sometimes we get all caught up in the spirit, as some people say, and somebody will give praise the Lord or amen or hallelujah. And it doesn't happen too often, does it? Wish it did. But anyway, we are to praise the Lord in everything that we do. We are to, that's what our life is about. And laud him, all you people. We are to glorify God in each and everything that we do. We are, and that's not just us. Every one of his children should have this desire. Serve the Lord. Do the things that he tells us to do. Don't do the things that he tells us not to do. Pretty simple instructions, right? Verse 12, and again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, what did the Pharisees and the scribe call him? Well, not them, but the king. He said the king of the Jews. No, that's not what Jesus is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. Reign over the Gentiles. That's not talking about the Jews. But he is. He's going to reign over them too. In him shall the Gentiles trust, because of the love of Christ for us, we trust in him. Matthew chapter 1, and I'm not going to read. I think maybe I will read all of them because it's important to know what God's purpose is and where it started concerning us. Now, this is the root of Jesse, right? Well, let's go back a little bit before that. We're going to start in Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And here we go. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zarah, Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king, well, we done went past Jesse here. We just now passed Jesse. We've gone through all these others before this, and we just now passed Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias, and his brethren, about the time that they were carried away to Babylon. So, okay, we've gone a little bit farther here. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zorobabel, and Zorobabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Nathan, and Nathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now you might say, well, that was a lot of reading there. We went all the way back to Abraham, didn't we? Well, we need to understand that the purpose of God goes back before Abraham. His plan was to save me before the foundation of the world. Yeah, we went back a long while there, didn't we? Read a few verses, spoke a few names right, spoke a lot of names wrong. But Steve knows how to do that. But sometimes you just got to try, you know. But God's purpose will always be accomplished, won't it? We don't have to worry about that. If he purposed to save me, I'm going to be saved. And I am. It's not something that's going to happen sometime later on down the road. Well, you can't know you're saved. That's what some people say. You can't know that. Well, I'm going to say this. If you don't know it, you're probably not. Anyway, in verse 13, this will be our last verse for this morning. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's where our joy and peace is, our hope. It's in believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing what he said. Knowing that he loves us. He loved us before we loved him. That's for sure. Peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. We have all hope. And our hope isn't a dead hope. We know our outcome. You can read God's Word and you can see what's going to happen. We don't have to worry about it. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, we have a comforter that lives in us and gives us a further hope. You know, He's with us all the time. We don't have to worry about the Lord losing us. He knows everything. He knows where you're at all the time. There's a flip side to that, too. Hey, when you're doing something wrong, He knows that, too. You know, I've done some things in my life when I'm not going to mention any of them because Connie wants me to, but I won't. But you know, sometimes you do stupid things. As a child, I did some stupid things. Just like as a child of God, I've done stupid things. That doesn't change yet. It's going to change. It's going to change. I'm going to be perfect one of these days. When I receive my glorified body, that according to the purpose of God, I already have. We already read that in Romans chapter 8, remember? Anyway, we have the power of the Holy Ghost, a comforter that shows us, you know, all these things in God's Word. We have every hope. We have all hope because we have Jesus. Anyway, we'll start with verse 14 next time. Y'all stick around. Pastor's got a great message in about 5 minutes or so.